Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
Good morning. I'll be reading from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 17. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arm strong.
If you haven't already done so, I hope you'll turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 31. That's where we're going to be spending some time this morning. Before we dive into that chapter, just as a reminder, our theme this year is reminding us that God is able, and that power doesn't lie within us, but within Him. And so one of the passages that helps us focus on that is Jeremiah 10 and verse 6. And we tend to try to pick one each month to focus on, and this will be one for this month. So if you would, let's say this together. There is none like You, O Lord. You are great, and Your name is great in might. There is none like Him. What a good reminder for us. Today, as you know, is a day that has been set aside to honor mothers. And so we have here, I'm sure, family members that have come together to spend time with mothers. If you're here as a guest because of that, thank you for being here. We hope that today you'll have a time where you can enjoy the blessing God has given you and give honor to those who honor is due, thinking about the blessing of motherhood in your life. I also know that on days like today, it can be very difficult for a variety of reasons. You may be here this morning, and a day like today brings some difficult emotions. Maybe it's a reminder of loss, a loss of your mother or loss of children. Maybe of hopes for having children that are still in that stage of being a hope and are not reality yet. Maybe you had a relationship with your mother that was challenging. And I just want you to know, not only from us, but thinking about the God that we serve, thank you for being here today, even in a day when it might be difficult. And the fact that you have people around you who love you and care for you also hopefully will remind you that God loves and cares for us. No matter where we are, even if no one else can completely understand how we're feeling, God does. And He's with us. And so we understand that in a room this large, there are a lot of different emotions in a day like today. And we're reading from one of the classic passages that's often associated with Mother's Day. The 31st chapter of Proverbs. We've been going through a series on Proverbs called Lifelines, and so when it came to today, it seemed like this was a natural place for us to spend our time. It's a passage that has often been read many times at funeral services to remind us of the traits of women who've lived godly lives. I think that's good. I think it's very appropriate and very helpful. You can probably picture people that you've known that you think of when you read that passage. And so this morning, we want to think about that, but maybe to plug it into the study we've been doing of Proverbs, and hopefully to see some things we might not have noticed before. Because no matter what situation in life we're in, there are some powerful principles that are here that can help all of us. And so as we dive into that, we're going to be looking not just at the portion that Tim read for us, but the rest of the chapter. Before we read the rest of these verses, I just want to remind us of something we've been thinking all throughout this series. And that is when we look at Proverbs, we're looking at an Old Testament book that is written in the style of wisdom literature. We read it differently than we might read the Gospels, where you have something happen that leads to the next thing, that leads to the next thing. This is a collection of principles that's organized in a way that it sometimes can show us a specific point. And then there'll be some chapters of Proverbs that sort of contain all kinds of different advice, just all packed in. And if you remember, at the beginning of Proverbs, you had this contrast between wisdom and foolishness. And both wisdom and foolishness were given the image and were embodied as a woman. So you had woman wisdom and then the woman of folly or of foolishness. And they're both giving an invitation. And so the question you have as you read is, whose invitation are you going to respond to? And so it makes sense that when you get to the end of the book of Proverbs, what does it conclude with? It concludes with the essence of wisdom, the essence of living a worthy life. And again, it's embodied in this image of a worthy woman. It's bringing to a conclusion what we saw from the very beginning. The Proverbs is constantly telling us, go for wisdom. Don't look at what else is around you. Hold on to wisdom. And so these last few verses help us do that. I'd like for us to read the rest of this chapter, beginning in verse 18. And as we do that, remember, we're getting a powerful sketch, a depiction of what a wise life looks like. Beginning in verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. What a powerful sketch of a life. And I want us to notice a couple of things right off the bat. First of all, it almost makes you tired to read all of the things that are contained in this one passage, doesn't it? I think it's helpful to remind ourselves, this is the sketch, this is the depiction of a worthy woman. It's not necessarily a daily itinerary. In other words, one of the things that's on the list is that she looks at a piece of land and buys it. Well, chances are that's not happening every day, but that's part of the character of this woman. If you were to describe a mother of young children, that description could include a lot of things. It could include waking up in the middle of the night to take care of a child when he's sick. It could include taking your child to all of his or her soccer games and all of their recitals and all of their rehearsals. It could include, you know, making sure that you have time to play with your children. It could include helping them with their homework. It could include fixing meals for them. It could include planning a special trip for them. It could include sitting down and having Bible studies with them. You could think of a lot of different things, but they might not all happen in the same day. I mean, hopefully you wouldn't necessarily have every day needing to take care of a sick child, but that's in there in the character description for when that happens. And so I think we need to be careful that we don't necessarily go on an unnecessary guilt trip and think, boy, yesterday was so busy, we just barely had time to get one or two things accomplished and look at everything in this list. And I'm supposed to do this every day. We're backing up and thinking about the character of the woman that's described here. And so let's not put ourselves in a guilt trip just yet. Let's look at the character that's here and realize this isn't necessarily a daily itinerary, but it's a description of the kind of person who lives a wise life. Even in addition to that, I also want to be careful that those who are here don't think, you know, in order for me to become a truly worthy woman, a woman of excellence, I have to be married and have children. Because she was in this passage, and so I guess I have to do that as well. Well, we need to be very careful before we make any assumptions. In fact, when we look at the Old Testament passage that we find in Ruth, where Ruth, who is the daughter-in-law of Naomi, and they've moved back from Ruth's homeland of Moab, and she is now an immigrant into God's people, and they encounter Boaz, who Ruth is going to marry, Boaz says something to Ruth. Ruth has been married, her husband has died, and now she's looking to marry again. But in Ruth chapter 3, in verse 11, notice what he tells her. He tells her that when he looks at her, everyone around knows that she is an excellent woman, that she is a worthy woman. In fact, I think we have that passage in one of the next slides here in Ruth chapter 3 in verse 11. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. Now, what's interesting about that is the exact same phrase in the Hebrew language that we see in Proverbs 31. Now, the word for wife and woman there are the same, and you judge by context, well, is that going to be a wife in this sentence or a woman in this sentence? But in Proverbs 31, when you think of the worthy wife, the worthy woman, that's the same phrase here in Ruth. Ruth at this time was not married. She did not have children. But she lived that kind of life that was a worthy life, a life of excellence. And so I want us to see that Proverbs 31 is giving us a vision of what that excellent life looks like. And so the question we need to ask is not necessarily breaking down the daily itinerary that I have to do all of these things every day constantly. I don't know if any of us could realistically do all of that and pack it into one day. But I need to have the kind of life that when people describe my life, that's the sort of list that they come up with. And so just like the woman of Proverbs 31 wasn't necessarily buying land every day that she lived, when they associated her character, they saw, you know, this is someone who's diligent and hardworking, and she goes and takes care of this kind of business, that she takes care of her children, that she makes sure they have clothes and she makes them clothes, that she makes sure they're well fed. Those are the kinds of character descriptions that are there. And it doesn't matter who we are, all of us could stand to benefit from learning these sort of excellent characteristics. And so the question we want to ask this morning is, what is it that made her a worthy woman? What is it that made Ruth a worthy woman? What is it that made this woman in Proverbs 31? And then second of all, we not only want to think of her as a woman of excellence, but for all of us, what can make us people of excellence? Excellence and worthiness and valor, all synonyms for the same kind of phrase. What is it that makes us people of excellence? And I believe the passage shows us a couple of key things that are really helpful to us. The first is a word we might not hear as often today, but I think is powerful, and that is diligence. You get this kind of hard-working diligence that's described in Proverbs 31. In fact, Proverbs 31 has a lot of contrast between what the book of Proverbs already tells us about laziness. Just look at a couple of the contrasts we see here with this worthy woman and then with what Proverbs tells us about laziness. We find out in 31 verse 15, she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. You get this sense of hard working, making sure everyone in the house is going to be taken care of, that everyone will have food. Notice what Proverbs 6, 10 and 11 say. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. It's a warning to make sure that we don't get so caught up in being lazy, or another word for that might even be sloth, being slothful, that we forget our responsibility to be hardworking and diligent. I think about another passage that describes her as she considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. There's that hard work again. Here's what Proverbs 24 tells us in verse 30. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles and its stone wall was broken down. And so you see him going by someone's house who is lazy, someone's vineyard who is lazy, and it's all overgrown. And so we're challenged to be hard workers. I have to admit, as I was getting ready for this week, this passage ran through my mind as I mowed my grass yesterday because it looked pretty rough. And I thought, I don't know what someone would say who drove by our lawn. Maybe they'd feel the same way. We've got to have that kind of ethic where we're hard workers. Or maybe even see what we find in Proverbs 31, 27 through 28. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Notice the praise that's associated with the work that she's done. And the idea that her family will praise her and affirm her. That's one of the things I like about days like today, is it gives us that reminder to affirm the mothers in our lives who have done so much for us. But in contrast with that is Proverbs 10 and verse 5. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Remember, in the ancient world, you're thinking a lot about honor to a family and shame. Am I saving face or am I losing face? And he says, it's not just that a lazy kind of attitude would affect the individual. It could impact the whole family. And so you see that all throughout Proverbs, there have been instructions of what to avoid. And here in the Proverbs 31 picture, you have, here's what happens when you avoid these pitfalls, when you decide not to do this, here's what that life looks like. And so it's this really beautiful picture of what diligence can do. Her hands are described as willing. Similar to the way the New Testament would tell us to give cheerfully, to give willingly, that there's a service there. Not someone who's standing around waiting for others to take care of things, but a person who's willing to take the initiative. How can we be people of excellence? How could I be a person who can be described in character as being worthy or excellent? Well, diligence is going to be necessary. I'm going to need not just to wait around for someone else to do something. I'm going to need to step in and be willing to work myself. Even when it comes to life in the church, life in the body of Christ, that diligence is powerful. It's a lot easier for me to wait around for someone else to take care of something. And this really needs to be done, and someone really needs to handle this, and you know, someone should address this issue. Or I could take the initiative and be diligent and show that kind of action. And she cares for her family. Her actions honor her spouse. And I know this is written in the context of a wife and her works honoring her husband. The same could be said for a husband and wife. We've talked about how we can look at this from both angles when it comes to a marriage relationship. And so the challenging question is not only being diligent in our work, but being diligent in taking care of our family. And are we affirming our family members? Are we affirming our spouses? Are we encouraging our parents? Are we encouraging our children? This description of the worthy woman is worth more than rubies, worth more than precious jewels. There's something here in the substance that's worth more than any sort of precious metal that existed then. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know that this sort of character is still worth just as much today. It's not something that can be bought. It's not something that can be purchased. Her actions provide for children, making sure they have food to eat. This phrase in there of being clothed warmly in scarlet indicates the quality of clothing that they have. The idea isn't even necessarily the specific kind of clothing, but just the idea that they're being taken care of, that they're prepared for whatever comes their way. She also has a little bit of a contrast there, and her hand is on the spindle, her hand is hard at work, but her hand also reaches out to help the poor. And so the kind of diligence that she's concerned with is not just about her family. It starts with her family. She's concerned with them, but it's also concerned with others. Isn't that a powerful image? For all of us, if we want to be people of excellence, we can't just be focused on ourselves and just be focused on those who are in our family. There needs to be that need where we're reaching out, where we're doing something, where we don't neglect our family, but we don't neglect our obligation to help those who need it. What an amazing contrast that's here. And so diligence is very powerful. But there's another element that's at play in Proverbs 31. We see it all the way through. In fact, we see it all the way through the book. The element of wisdom that's here. What is it that makes someone of an excellent character? What kind of excellent life is being lived? It's one that possesses wisdom. She embraces all these tasks wholeheartedly. And it's interesting to see that she seems to be involved in everything instead of doing what might be tempted for us. You know, wishing things were different. We might wish for another life. This idea of embracing everything that comes our way with wisdom. And she understands the power of serving God in every aspect of life. This sketch gives us about every side you could look at of a person's life. And in every side, she's serving God. I think that's incredible for us to focus on. It's going to be increasingly important. Because as we think about the instruction that's going to be needed in the world around us, that kind of wisdom and that sort of teaching of kindness that's always on her tongue, this idea that she's always teaching kindness and wise living, is going to be especially needed. A few weeks ago, my mother was looking through a scrapbook she had. She was looking for some information for my grandmother, her mother, who's in an assisted living facility. And she found in these items a note that my grandmother wrote to her before she went to college. And she hadn't seen it in a long time, and my dad saw it, and he scanned it in and emailed it to my sister and me just to give us a sense of what it said. Because of the effects of dementia, my grandmother can no longer really communicate with us. But this note said a lot about her, and it just sounded like her. It sounded like her voice. And so I asked permission to share just a little bit of it because I know I'm biased, but it sounded a lot like the teaching of wisdom and kindness we're thinking of. I especially think about it in light of all the graduations taking place, about next Sunday being Senior Sunday, and this being a time where parents are thinking about wisdom they can share with children. And so I want to share just a little bit of it. I think we have maybe a picture of it. I won't read the whole thing in the slide, but I just want us to hear what she said. "One of the greatest blessings I could wish for you as you pass out from the guardianship of home into life with its duties and trials is that you should possess the power of winning love and friends, a love for God and a love for truth. With this power, the poor girl is rich. Without it, the richest girl is poor. Fine and genuine manners can never be acquired except as they become the natural expression of gentleness, kindness, intelligence, respect for parents and elders, and an earnest desire to serve God and do good for our fellow man. Strive, my dear, to cherish these graces in your heart, and good behavior and good manners will naturally follow. You are a joy to us, and we are so proud to say that you belong to us." I hear wisdom and kindness in those words. And maybe there's a note that you have. Maybe there's a letter that you have. Maybe there's a memory you have of a conversation where you heard those kinds of words from someone who loved you. When you heard some guidance that said, you're going to face a lot of challenges to come, but here's some wisdom for the road ahead. Here's what you're going to need to know. And if you haven't done so, and you have children that are facing the challenges that come with graduation or going into a new phase of life, I'd encourage you to write one of those notes. If you're a child and you've received one of those notes, I'd encourage you to cherish that. Not just to save it for later, but to use that wisdom now. Because we live in a world that's changing very rapidly. And because of that, we need to hold on to that kind of wisdom. In fact, I was given a reminder of that recently when I looked at some research that's been done and come out lately by David Kinneman of the Barna Research Group. He recently has co-authored with Gabe Lyons a book called Good Faith that reflects on some extensive surveying that they've done. And in one of the surveys, they found that there was constantly a focus on self that we struggle with today. In fact, one of the things they noticed was that 91% of the people who were surveyed believed that the highest purpose in life could be found within, that you needed to look inside yourself to find how to live and how to serve. 76% of those who stated they were Christians believed that life's highest purpose was finding what's inside ourselves. Well, how does wisdom react to that? How does wise teaching react to that? Wise teaching might remember the words of Jesus in Mark 7 that says, you know, it's what comes out of the heart that can defile a man. That I'm not just looking inside myself, I'm looking to God. I'm looking outside myself for guidance. Or even another reflection of morality, there was a survey of how to categorize different actions, whether they were sinful or not. And they kept percentages of who thought certain actions were sinful. And among teens and young adults aged 13 to 24, they found an interesting list. And you'll notice that number four in this list is not recycling, that 56% of those said that not recycling was sinful. Only 32% said that viewing pornographic images was sinful. Boy, isn't that a contrast? What a change in our understanding. What does wisdom say to that? How does wisdom react to that? Doesn't wisdom remind us that, yes, it's important to take care of what God has given us, but there are several times in Scripture where we clearly see the idea of what is in our minds and keeping our thoughts pure. We're going to need to keep training in wisdom and kindness to deal with what's coming ahead, to deal with what not only our graduates, but everyone else is facing every day. That wisdom is going to be necessary. You have diligence and wisdom that's needed. And so as we think about the kind of character, the strength of character that's here in Proverbs 31, we have to ask ourselves, what do we value? What is it that I value in my life? If someone were writing out a character sketch of my life, if they were setting a description of all the different things that I'm doing on a daily basis, what would that be? What would that description include? I think one of the powerful things about Proverbs 31 is that it has managed to maintain its impact even in a very different culture. Proverbs 31 is an acrostic poem where each line begins with another letter of the Hebrew alphabet. They would do that in a way to indicate sort of a sense of completion, that this is a complete sketch. This gives a sense of finality that's here. One author who has lived and worked in South Africa, Madipoen Masayenya, has said that this Proverbs 31 description of a woman includes aspects of womanhood that are vital for the work in South Africa, a very different culture than ours. Isn't it incredible how it stretches across cultures? It stretches over the centuries and impacts our own life. I've wondered what it would look like if we had an updated version of Proverbs 31. I've thought about especially the relationship that we see between a mother and child, between someone working hard. Maybe it would read something like this, that she works hard, exemplifying a Christian work ethic. That she listens to others, even when she'd rather do most of the talking. That she cares for the people around her and takes action to show them how much she cares. That she cleans up spills and messes in her house, even when it seems like they will never end. She cares for sick children, even when that can keep her up at night. She does her best to handle the challenges of the day, even when it would be much easier to give up. I don't know what your situation in life is like, but I know that all of us need diligence and wisdom. And wherever we are, if we want to be the kind of people that could be described as worthy and of excellence and people of valor, it's going to begin with looking to God for guidance in how we live and what we teach. Looking to God to see how we should work hard, what we should work hard doing, and how we should share that work with others. The blessing of the gospel is that God loves us enough that He has given us His Son. And in reading about Jesus, we find someone who is not just a human being, but God made flesh, showing us what it's like to live wisely. I have to ask myself, what am I valuing in my life? Do I value His example? Have I valued His example enough to decide to turn my life around? Have I valued what Scripture says enough to decide, I'm not going to live on my own. I'm going to confess Jesus as Lord. I'm going to repent of the way I used to live. That means I'm going to do a turnaround and put Christ on in baptism and live for Him. If you want to begin valuing the Word of God in that way and put Christ on in baptism, you can do that this morning. It may be that you've done that, but you just need to readjust and recalibrate the values in your life. That you need to put God first. Or it may be you're struggling with something and you just need prayers and support. If there's any way we can help you, please let us know as we all stand and as we sing together.